Hello and welcome to Conscious Conversations with One Breath Institute with your hosts, Lisa McNett and Debbie Sherman. Tune in for mind-blowing conversations on how to be more conscious and present in your life.
Topics we cover include healing, spirituality, introspective breathwork, astrology, dreams, alternate states of consciousness, and so much more. Hear from us and our interesting guests. Make sure to follow and subscribe to easily find us and listen again.
Okay, hello and welcome to Conscious Conversations with One Breath Institute. I am Lisa McNett, founder of One Breath Institute and the host of today's podcast. And I'm really excited to have with me Heather Alexander. The intention of this podcast is to have interesting conversations, conscious conversations with people that we find really interesting. And we have so many of those persons part of our community. And so Heather is part of our community. I'm going to go ahead and read Heather's bio so that you have an awareness of who Heather is. Hello, my name is Heather. That's Heather. Heather recently recently planted roots in Las Vegas, Nevada due to the world-class rock climbing here at Red Rock. Over the last 7 or so years, Heather has been on a journey of self-discovery and healing. Breathwork found Heather last summer, and then Heather found OBI, One Breath Institute, this spring. Heather is currently enrolled in our trauma-informed breathwork therapist program, and Heather also serves as our student resource specialist. Heather says, as I learn and grow in my practice, I plan to help others in their journey of self-discovery, reaching their full potential and goals, and to heal and grow from their self-limiting beliefs. Beautiful, Heather.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. So the first thing I want to ask you about is climbing.
Yeah.
Climbing. I've lived in the mountains, but I've never done anything like that. I mean, sure. I haven't really lived in the mountains. I lived in San Francisco for a little while. I lived where there were mountains. Mm-hmm. But I'm from Florida. Florida's flat.
Yeah.
Most of my life has been in Florida. I was like a year stint in California. So, mm-hmm. So how did you get into rock climbing? What do you love about it? Like, what do you want to tell us about it? Anything you want to
say? Yeah. So it's kind of hard to remember exactly what got me into it. I think it was just like, you know, maybe over like social media or something like that. And I was going through like kind of like another self-discovery phase of my life. And I was working for the film industry and I did that for like 5 years. And I was always escaping to go outside like on my weekends and such, because during the weeks they were just like so chaotic, very long work day, sometimes like 12-15 hour days, and too much. So on the weekends I just would like go out and like go camping and hiking, and I just didn't really like feel like fulfilled in that. Like I wanted more adventure and I guess like more like adrenaline. And so I got into climbing, and the first time I ever went climbing was I hired a guide in Joshua Tree. You could do this like in different places where you hire a guide and they'll go take you out. They'll like give you all of the gear. So I did that, and instantly I was just like, okay, like this is my thing. I love this. So yeah, then just like started climbing like at the gym a little bit, and then getting introduced to people and like having them bring me outside, and just haven't stopped.
I had no idea you were in the film industry. I did not know this about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fascinating. And so yeah, I can totally envision how having these long days, like on a set is what I'm envisioning, or just indoors, would make you want to just go and be outside. And
yeah,
and yeah, hiking wasn't enough. So you just hired a guide to take you out, and you found your thing. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I tried climbing a rock wall once, mm-hmm. and I was terrified.
Inside. Yeah.
Inside an indoor rock wall. And it was scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. How did it feel? I mean, you said adrenaline, but you mm-hmm. know, you went, you did a climb outside, and then you mm-hmm. started doing indoor climbing. And mm-hmm. I mean, did you have any fear when you first got started, or I mean, is there any fear ever for you with any of this?
Oh, yes. Yes. Fear is like such a big part of it. But I think that like, that's kind of like what makes it fun. And like, that's what gets people addicted to it. But I would say the first time that I ever climbed, which was in Joshua Tree, I wasn't scared, just because like I was on a rope, I trusted the gear, and like I trusted the guide. And he was like very informative. And I was just like so just like excited. Just like it was just like a sense of adrenaline. And I was just like, the rush was just like, wow, this is so cool. But now like I've been climbing for probably about like 6 or so years. The first couple of years were like a little bit on and off. And then like I really started getting into it, I would say maybe like 4 years ago. But I feel like my fear has gotten, like I've gotten more fear over the years. And I feel like the sense of like what could possibly happen just from like my experience from like, you know, whether there's like accidents with people or just like, you know, seeing people get hurt like throughout this time, it has brought on like a new sense of fear. Before it was like kind of like an ignorance thing, you know, like, okay, nothing's gonna happen, but things happen. They do happen.
Yeah, that's such a great point, is that ignorance factor, you know, mm-hmm. you just got out there, you trusted this person, it was mm-hmm. exciting. And then with experience, seeing things that have happened, that creates a sense of fear. Mm-hmm. Wow, that really has me thinking about like how many, that just has me thinking. I'm just gonna pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, because things happen, but do things happen because we now have a sense of fear because things happen?
Mm. Well, that could also tie into when you are scared while you're climbing. Sometimes you get in an accident because of that fear, whether that's like you're over gripping on something, and because you're scared, you start sweating and your hand starts sliding off the holds. Because you're so scared. And then I've seen people like fall off of a boulder because they were so terrified, and they end up hurting themselves rather than just kind of like tuning in and like slowing their breath down and, you know, being able to like be present and focus on like where to go next. It's kind of just like this like panic, and then like there's nothing else that you could think about except just like, I just need to get down.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is where breath work, or this is one way that breath work supports you on your journey with rock mm-hmm. climbing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything more that you would say about that? Is there anything that you have seen shift or change for yourself personally?
Oh yeah, definitely. I actually had an experience a few weeks ago before I moved here. I was climbing up in Santa Barbara in California, and I was on top of a boulder. So when you boulder, you're just using pads, like you don't have a rope attached to you. And all of my friends were like around the corner at a different boulder. So nobody was there to spot me. And basically what a spot is just to kind of like, you know, you put your hands up, and if somebody falls, you could either catch them and like guide them down to the pad, or just like make sure that they're not like rolling back and like hitting their head and stuff like that. But so there was nobody there. And I was okay with it because I feel like I just needed like to like be in my own head and just like have it be quiet. And I got to the top of the boulder and I started panicking a little bit, and I could recognize it in my breath. You know, my breathing got like very shallow, and I was probably holding my breath as well. And I literally closed my eyes at the top of this boulder. I closed my eyes and I just like slowed down my breath and just like, just kind of like tuned in. And I had to tell myself like, it's okay. And I kind of had this like outer body experience where like I was probably there for like a couple of seconds. And then I like opened my eyes back and I'm just like, wow, I'm still at the top of this rock. Like everything's okay. I'm not falling off. And I was able to just like get my foot up high and just like get on top. But it took me, you know, a couple of seconds to just like really tune in and like calm myself down and focus on my breath.
So how high up were you when you were having this experience? You say boulder. So
yeah, I wasn't that high. I would say maybe like 10 feet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that high, but high enough to fall and maybe
hurt myself. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
High enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you said pad. So is there a pad mm-hmm. kind of, is it placed somewhere? Like how does
yeah,
that work?
So when we go out, we carry these, they're called crash pads, and they kind of look like backpacks. They have straps on them. You carry them on your back and they're pretty big. Sometimes you carry like a couple of them, but yeah, you place them underneath the boulder where you think that you might fall. So when you do fall, you're landing on top of the pad and like not onto the ground.
Okay. And that's different from when you're climbing higher and you've got ropes and mm-hmm. like what are all the things that you have when you're climbing higher?
Yeah. So there's different styles of climbing, and I more so do bouldering. So like without a rope, but there's sport climbing, which is like you're placing carabiners like into the rock. So it's called like protection. You're placing those into the rock where there's like these like bolts. So as you're going up, you're clipping into those. And then there's trad climbing, which is you've probably heard of like cams, where you like place those inside the rock and then they like open up. So when you fall, like you're relying on that. And then there's like a couple of other styles when you're going on like really tall like walls. It's called like aid climbing and such, which I don't really know too much about because I don't really do that.
Okay. Yeah. So mm-hmm. what is the highest up that you have been, just out of curiosity, or do you even know?
Probably just like maybe 400 or 500 feet, but yeah, it's like a certain style. So like there's like some people that like to be like well versed in like different styles of climbing. So like back in the day, people used to tend to go higher and they would treat bouldering as like training or like practicing to like get stronger to like climb higher. But now it's like a whole separate category. So like you could be climbing a boulder that might be only 10 feet, but it could be very, very challenging.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and 400 or 500 feet is pretty high. That's pretty high. I mean, I know there's like, there's people who go out and they do these whole Himalaya treks and mm-hmm. all this wild, intense stuff. But what I'm hearing is that, yeah, is it's more about the technical climb, like the technicality of some of these climbs. It could be even just 10 feet, but there's complexity and difficulty to this situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So anything else more you want to say about climbing? I mean, you were in California and now you're in mm-hmm. Vegas. Is it, and you said that it's mostly because of the, is it the Red Rock? The Red mm-hmm. Rocks. Yeah. What's special or what's different about this area?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you know, but I lived in a van for 3 years prior to moving here. And a part of me wanting to do that was to kind of just travel around and like figure out like where I wanted to live and like plant roots. And I spent about 6 months here last season, last climbing season. And then the season before that, I had spent some time here as well. And I just like fell in love with it. I don't know. It just like feels like home compared to a lot of other places that I've been. And there's like a lot of different things here, like in Vegas, whereas like when people typically think of Vegas, they think of, you know, like the strip and like gambling and such, which is like nothing that I'm like really into, but I have like this whole other side of Vegas that the average person doesn't really know about. But yeah, I just fell in love with it. And there's like so much climbing here. And it's like, I really love the community. And there's like such a large climbing community here and holistic community here, which are like, that's just my life. So yeah, I just fell in love with it.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, there is, it's like two different Vegases.
Yeah.
Two different Vegases completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few places that stand out that are like that, where it's like total. Ibiza is one of these places. We have some international listeners, and Ibiza is an island that is like, I've been there and it's so fascinating. There's like one half of the island that's total holistic, healing oriented. And the other is like all night party raves.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating how there can be such contrasts in certain places. And Vegas is one of those places.
Yeah.
You mentioned living in a van for more than 3 years. That's a popular thing now. Yeah, I lived in an RV. So that's But that's a popular thing now. Is there anything that you would like to share with listeners who might be curious about living in a van and doing some traveling? Like, what you love most about it and what might have been a challenge about it?
Mostly challenges. Yeah, I think when people think of van life, they like have this like Instagram idea of like what it is. And yeah, it's not like that. I did love it for, I would say, about 2 years. And then the last year became pretty challenging. I think that it was something that I really needed to do and I love to do. And I'm very glad that I did it. I just don't think that it's like sustainable for a long period of time, for me at least. But yeah, like I spent 2 years just like traveling around and like discovering new places and meeting so many different people. And like the climbing community is just like so large. Like I could be in, you know, a completely different state, even like Colorado. Like I was in Colorado last year and like ran into people that I met in California. And you're just like, you're always in places that like, you're probably going to run into somebody that you know. And if not, you're going to run into a friend that knows your friend. And then like you guys become friends. So it's just like really awesome to like see like how big that climbing community like expands. But yeah, I do not regret it at all, but I am very happy to be in an apartment now.
Yeah. Very, very cool about the climbing community. Like it sounds like the best thing about being in the van was having the freedom and the flexibility to go wherever you wanted to go and to climb in all of these different places. Mm-hmm. And how cool that you would, I imagine it to be a close-knit community. I was, I can relate to that just from the sense of having been a runner, and the running community is smaller and smaller the further you go with distance, and also very supportive. But so I get just a little bit of a taste of that, but also I don't, you know, how wonderful would that be to just show up someplace and have that sense of familiarity and comfort. Yeah. And especially I imagine being a woman traveling by yourself, climbing mountains and boulders by yourself, just being able to always connect and know that you're supported was probably very, it just probably helped.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if I didn't have climbing and if I was just traveling, I would feel probably lost, because whenever I was traveling, it was always to a climbing destination and I was always surrounded by like-minded people. and that were like so welcoming, and I could go somewhere by myself and just find somebody to climb with.
Nice. And through that experience, you fell in love. You found the place that you love the most to be in and climb in.
Yeah.
So how did you find breath work?
Yeah. So last summer, I was traveling and I was having a really hard time. I had gotten where my contract ended. I was working for the National Park Service and my contract ended. So I didn't have a job. And yeah, I was just traveling and I was with my now ex-boyfriend and I just felt very like just lost because I didn't know like where I was going, what direction I was going. And I actually decided to sign up for therapy through BetterHelp. And I got placed with a breathwork practitioner who's also a therapist, a licensed therapist. And I was struggling with insomnia at the time, like really, really bad insomnia. I was not sleeping like for weeks. I would go to bed, you know, I would watch the sun come up like every day for days and days and days. And yeah, I just really needed support in that. And she had said that breath work would help with that. And I was like, honestly, at this point, I would try anything because I've struggled with insomnia for basically my whole life, for as long as I could remember. And yeah, I started doing breath work with her for, I would say maybe about 8-ish months, maybe a little bit shorter than that, 6 months. And I didn't really know like what I wanted to do because I needed to find another job. And I was kind of looking for something within that realm. I just like didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. And I just started doing research. And then I found OBI. And yeah, I had a connection call with Debbie and I was just like, well, first I saw some stuff that she had posted on Instagram and she was so cute. She had like this like little beanie on and she was like outside and she was just like talking about like, you know, OBI in the school and just like, she was just like so inviting and so welcoming and it didn't feel like she was trying to like sell anything. It was just like, hey, like, this is what we do. Like, this is who we are. And that was unlike any other school that I had seen online. And I signed up like, I think it was like the next day because our cohort would have started like the day after that. So I like literally signed up at the very last second. Yeah, and here we are.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah. I don't even know all the stories. So it's lovely for me to hear that feedback. And yeah, I love hearing the feedback and how you found us and what, you know, brought you in. And I'm curious how you did the breathwork support your insomnia?
Yes. I started sleeping again.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, cliffhanger there. Yeah. No, that's why I wanted to get into breathwork because I had tried everything, and I mean everything, to support my insomnia. I downloaded like this app that like specifically was to support people with insomnia. Like, I tried everything and nothing worked except breath work.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. Life changing.
It really is.
It really is.
So do you have any vision? I know you want to, do you have any vision for what you want to do with breathwork at this point?
And I think it's funny because we started off talking about climbing and I've been kind of like brainstorming on like what I want to do with my breathwork services and like where I want it to go. And Yeah, my vision is to support climbers. Let me take a step back. Climbing is very much a mental sport, and almost, I would say, if not more than physical. And as climbers, we tend to mostly train just our physical body, and we don't focus on the mental aspect of it or like our mindset. And I want to be able to offer that support to climbers and, yeah, help them with like pushing past their self-limiting beliefs and their fears, and just like helping them reach like their full potential. And I've noticed that even like within myself, like sometimes I don't have the right mindset, and I know that it's very limiting for me. And there are like a few mindset coaches out there, but none of them that practice breath work, I don't think. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
That's amazing. And mindset and breath are different. I feel like mindset work can, sure, it helps. It supports. Mm-hmm. You need to train your brain, your mind, yeah, mental capacity. But at the same time, you know, what you said makes so much sense. And, you know, you painted such a clear picture earlier when you spoke about being on this boulder and having some fear and how you just dropped into your breath, and mm-hmm. it was only a few seconds, but it felt, you said, like an out-of-body experience. It felt, yeah, like probably like a longer period of time. And yeah, you were like, oh, I'm here. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm not falling. Mm-hmm. And now mm-hmm. I can do this. And that's like, you could have, with the mind, you're just sitting there trying to convince yourself that you're fine the whole time, but dropping right. Into the breath brings you into a more embodied experience. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you could probably describe it better than I can. That's just what's coming up to me. Yeah. It's going to be more powerful.
Yeah, no, I think that's very accurate. And, you know, the reason why people climb, or a big reason why people climb, is to get out of our heads and into our body. You know, we enter into this this like flow state, and it allows for all of the mental chatter to just kind of like dissipate, and it's like a sense of like relief. And I love that about climbing, which is similar to breath work, you know, just like coming into your body and like quieting all the mental chatter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I can see how the two go hand in hand. Yeah. And that fear, you know, I have so much admiration for persons who climb. You know, it seems like just such this amazing thing. Like I said, I tried climbing a rock wall once and I was like, no. And that was just my mind, because I knew that I was strong right. enough to do it. But right. I just was like, I literally can't. And this yeah. was quite a few years ago. So I don't know, maybe I could breathe through it now. Yeah. With your support.
Yeah.
but you know, from an external perspective, it does look very much like a physical experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if somebody's even 10 feet up or 8 feet up, or just in a place where you're stuck, and you feel like, I'm stuck, where am I going to go from here? And you start right. panicking in any way, right. What's going to support you? It's going to be being able to calm yourself mm-hmm. in some way. And just drop in to a place that is finding the resources, instead of just overthinking right. the fear. Right.
Yeah, and trusting yourself and trying to put those like self-limiting beliefs aside for a second. Because if you tell yourself that you can't do something, you're not capable, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Okay. You've done some teaching too, right? At a climbing gym?
Not quite. So I will start coaching okay. Probably this week, actually. Yeah, I'll start coaching this week.
Nice.
Or next week. Yeah.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
I imagine that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. So I have like 5 questions.
Okay.
and which one am I going to pick? Which direction should we go? I guess if somebody wanted to get into climbing, like if somebody wanted to start climbing, what would you recommend as a way to start?
Yeah, so I feel like there's a couple of different avenues you could go. I mean, the most common way is to just go to your local climbing gym and just start climbing. I feel like that's how most people get into it, is starting off climbing in the climbing gym. Or you could do what I did and go hire a guide and just go outside and just go for it. I think it's a lot easier when you know somebody like to take you outside, because there's kind of like some things that are involved, like especially if you're like getting on ropes, there's a lot of like technical stuff that you need to know. But if like you're just like wanting to go outside and like boulder, there's like even a lot of gyms that will rent crash pads, so you don't have to like go out and purchase one, because they're, you know, a couple $100. So you could just go rent some shoes and just go try it. And also, if you're going to a popular place like Red Rock, for instance, there's this one area here that it's called Craft, and it's where the majority of people go. So if you were to never experience climbing and just go out there, like you're going to meet people and you're going to end up climbing with somebody.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
What would you want to say to a climber? Like, what would be your, is there anything you would want, any messages that you would want to say to a climber about breathwork, or about, anything more about how breathwork, I mean, you said so much already about how, mm-hmm. how breathwork can support climbers. So I guess I'm just really curious, like, how can the climbing community find you? That'll be my question. Yeah, how can the climbing community find you to get some tips on breath work? Or are you offering anything at this time or anytime soon? What do you have kind of crafting up?
Yeah, so what my plan is to support climbers in, you know, whatever way that kind of looks like for them during that time. And I am offering free sessions at the moment. To help support anyone. But I would love to work with climbers, and I am in the middle of creating like some kind of, workshop, to support climbers as well. So, I'm pretty excited about that, but that'll probably be like a little bit down the line.
Perfect. So what are your social media? How can they find you on social media, or, you know, I'm guessing social media is the best way to connect with you.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. So my handle is breathe_with_Heather.
Breathe_with_Heather. And when you look for that breathe_with_Heather, you will see a pair at this moment. It's a pair of, lovely lungs. I think they're pink lungs. Is that correct?
I believe that's it.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
That could change.
I've done a lot of like Instagram stuff lately. So
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah. And of course,
you're right.
People can find this at any point in the future, but Heather Alexander, and there's lovely pictures of you in front of the rocks, and testimonials about how amazing your breathwork sessions are. Okay. Before we close out, what would be one piece of wisdom that you would like to impart to anyone and everyone listening? Period. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing that pops into my head is like, you know, breath work can be this kind of like thing that you know, you don't really understand or like you don't quite get. And, you know, that's kind of been my experience when doing like my free sessions is like, you know, people come in, they're just like, yeah, I don't really know what to expect, but I'm just like here for it. And I feel like that's just like the best kind of way to like go into it is just like be open and willing and like just like see where it takes you and just like be curious. It's like hard to understand breath work like until you do it.
So totally. I imagine it's hard to understand bouldering and rock climbing until you just do it.
That's so funny. It's true. My grandma actually had said to me like last year or whatever, she was just like, what's the point? It's never left me. It's funny.
What was your answer?
I don't know. I think I just kind of like laughed and I was just like, because it feels good. Like,
yeah. I mean, what came up for me is like, not everything needs to have a point, right?
Yeah. Like it doesn't make sense until you do it. And then when you do it, you're like, ah.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to understand it to start it. I guess that's kind of like where I'm getting at.
Yeah. Great. I'm just connecting with, I'm imagining that there is, you know, you spoke to the piece of when you're climbing, you know, part of the experience is getting out of your head and getting into your body. But mm-hmm. I'm also imagining and envisioning just a sense of quiet and a sense of like smallness when you're up there too.
Yeah, I think it's like a sense of quiet and like presence. And I feel like that's like where like the flow state comes in. It's like everything around you just kind of like doesn't really exist except like you're just like so in your body and you're just moving, you're flowing, like you're up the wall. And then like the next second you're just like, wow, like I kind of blacked out. Like, how did I get here?
Yeah. Yeah. Just you, your body, and what is literally right there with you and in front of you at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the point?
What's the point?
I love that. And she probably was just so curious too with the question.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, is there any final words? Anything more you want to speak to about any of these topics or more?
I don't think so, except just for thanks for having me. And this is like the first interview I've ever did. So this is cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Thanks for being here and thanks for sharing. I know that this has been an enlightening conversation for me. I love learning about new things. Yeah. And so I didn't even know there was different types of climbing. and I think if I were going to try anything, it would be bouldering. but first I have to go someplace where there's a boulder. So
yeah
I'll have to come visit you at some point.
You could come out to Vegas.
All right. Well, thank you, Heather, for your time. And thank you everyone who has been listening. And we are going to close out. Again, you can follow us anywhere at One Breath Institute, and you can follow Heather at breathe_with_Heather. And make sure to like, subscribe, all those good things, and tune into Conscious Conversations.
If you're hearing this message, you've listened to this episode all the way to the end. And for that, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
We want to hear from you. Reach out and let us know what you thought of this podcast. And please like, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends.